Nation Station Mix Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Fast away, good afternoon, 7 minutes past 12 midday. A grey, damp, dank day. But the sun will rise. This time next week, a brand new House of Keys will be happening next Thursday as the House of Keys general election. Last weekend for the candidates to get on the trail and knock on your door over the weekend. 25 new cases of COVID were discovered yesterday. We now have 204 active cases of COVID on the Isle of Man. 2 people in Noble's Hospital and nobody in ICU. 269 people are waiting for the result of a test. And 141 people booked in for a COVID-19 test today. From the vaccination dashboard, it's showing 65,431st doses have been administered, 63,480 second doses. So we take from that 63,484 people are fully vaccinated. Over the next 7 days, 442 people are booked in for a jab, and Department of Health and Social Care holding 21,110 shots of vaccine in stock. Interestingly enough, it's 58% administered has been Oxford AstraZeneca, 38.5% has been Pfizer, and just over 3.5% has been Moderna. That's where we are at the moment. And have you got a special birthday cake today? If you're in the supermarket today, or maybe if you're feeling in a baking mode, bake a cake today. 3 years since work started to reconstruct Douglas Promenade 3 years ago, 2018 it was. It seems so long ago, like another era. The scheme, which has cost tens of millions of pounds, is due to finish by the end of this month. But what's happening there today? What is still to be done? And have there been any issues? Have there been any issues? Sean Cowper went to the site with a Manx Radio microphone.
So what is still to be done? Well, as we reported earlier this week, the most recent work plan from Aldin shows some work, including resurfacing, continuing into October, but the DOI says additional time has been factored in to allow for weather disruption. The MyProm board minutes also show the opening of the cultural area has been penciled in for next Friday, although concerns were raised over a potential scheduling conflict. That's the sector in and around the Villa Gaiety. There are still question marks over the future of the full length of the horse tram tracks, with a Tynwald vote due in the coming months. The court had previously backed plans to include a single track from Broadway to the sea terminal, but that's now been removed, subject to further approval from members.
Well, we're getting closer and closer to the end date. Some pieces of the prom can be seen in their final form at the moment, but what do residents and visitors make of what they see so far? Have you been lately?
I think when you look at some of the bits that are finished, it looks as if it's been done to a really good standard, and it looks inviting. So if the rest of it, even if it takes a while, turns to the same finish, then I think that's possibly what would make the wait worthwhile.
Well, to me, it looks like it's still work very much in progress.
I think, you know, it's slow progress, but it's good progress. I cycle along it quite regularly, and I walk and run along it quite regularly.
Have you been along to, what's the name of the hotel on the corner there? The Central.
Yeah.
Walk on the pavement there, and the stones move. I just don't think they've been put down properly. I mean, there's not enough cement under them. For some old lady with a walking stick, very dangerous. And these lampposts. I mean, the others were beautiful. These are absolutely horrible.
I thought it was only about 2.5 years. No, it's ridiculous. It's dreadful, in fact. Awful.
Any thoughts on the matter? Let's celebrate our three-year anniversary on the promenade in Douglas. 3 years they've been at it, and that's where we are. Well, if you factor in 18 months of COVID, let's cut slack, shall we, and just say that the past 18 months hasn't been the easiest, but here we are. And, of course, we've contacted MyProm. MyProm are the people behind it and the Alamein government for response to parking issues. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, people started getting nicked for parking vans on the promenade. No commercial vehicles, no vans. People were getting tickets. And we've asked about the concerns raised about the paving on Central Promenade. Reply came then on, well, I beg your pardon, no, we have had replies saying we'll find out for you and get back to you. And I think the first time we asked them about the parking was the 6th of September, it being the 17th of September now. So as soon as we hear from MyProm, then we'll tell you all about it. Until then, it's, what do they call it in aviation? It's a holding pattern. But any thoughts on the promenade? And let's, if you like, give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's just say it's going to be fantastic when it opens as well. If you're mourning the festoon lights, it's too late now. There'll be no more festoon lights, but when the prom's finished and the lights come on, let's just see what it's going to be like. Any thoughts on that matter? Text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com, call 661368. And last night we were at Ocean Views in Onchan last night. Fantastic night with the candidates for Onchan. You can see that video, as soon as it's been captioned for the Hard of Hearing, we'll put it up. The podcast is available as well. And actually, before we go any further, I just want to say thanks to our hosts so far. We've only got two more Manx Radio kind of out and about. Monday we'll be at the Whistle Stop Cafe in Port Erin for Russian. That's in the railway station for the constituency of Russian. And on Tuesday at Seven Kingdoms by the Steam Railway Station in Lake Road for Douglas Central. But it seems ages ago since we were at the Viking in Castletown for Arbury Castletown and Maloo. Got to thank Marcus Owen for being our host there as well. We're at the Ginger Hall on Thursday the 2nd for Aaron Michael. Ben Sowery was our host. Andy Gibbs was our host at Jack's on the Promenade on Monday the 6th for Douglas East. UCIOM, we were there for Douglas North on the 7th. Pamela Berry got all that sorted out for us. Paul Henry at the Pinewood in Paul Rose sorted out the Douglas South venue on Wednesday the 8th. At the Shore in Laxey on Thursday the 9th, it was Andrea and Mark Bartlett did a great job as well. Friday the 10th, this time last week, we're at Glenfarne and Peel for Peel Golf Club. And Alex Hendry did a great job. She runs a wonderful golf club there, does Alex. Monday the 13th, it was the Mitre in Ramsey. Carl Jochen had a great night this Monday past. On Wednesday, it was Douglas Rugby Club, for Carl Murray for the constituency of Middle, shall we say. And on Thursday last night, Ocean Views in Onchan and John Kinley. So I've got to say thanks, Marcus Owen, to Ben Sowery, Andy Gibbs, Pamela Berry, Paul Henry, Andrea and Mark Bartlett, Alex Hendry, Carl Jochen, Carl Murray, and to John Kinley for facilitating all those outside broadcasts. It's a lot of fuss for everybody involved, and I kind of just sit at the top with a microphone for an hour. But lots of people put lots of hard work in for the outside broadcasts. And some messages regarding the prom, and this one just says, those vanity projects, says Jack. The cultural centre's got about 40 slabs laid depicting the staff notations for the Manx national anthem. Let's hope they've been laid correctly, otherwise it won't sound right. How are we going to know? Oh, drones, yes. What a crazy waste of time to lay and taxpayers' money for all those slabs. Custom-made? Ridiculous, says Jack. Thank you, Jack, for that comment as well. Again, we'll wait and see and just see what's what. I mean, it may turn out to be absolutely world-beating as well. And thanks also for all the people I met last night in Onchan. Oh, thank you to my correspondent, Tony. It's Bassett's Pole Island. It was on the A38. You're quite right. Just seeing the plans from the government for sea defences from South Beach, Ramsey to the Dog Mills. Kind of unbelievable. If Douglas Prom has taken over 3 years, how long are the sea defences for Ramsey going to take? And what a mess they could cause as well. Don said we need a full investigation into the prom from contractors killing seagulls. Do you remember that? With diggers to uneven and dangerous flagstones to roundels to the lack of parking. It's decent around the Sefton, but it's maybe the Sefton paid for it. We don't know. I think heads must roll, says Don. That's... let me see here. We've got... oh, hi, Doug. You're on Douglas. Doug talking about Douglas Promenade.
Yes, good afternoon. And most definitely heads should roll. And what I cannot understand is that we've got politicians over the last 10, 15, maybe 20 years, which we pay $2.3 million a year to. Why haven't they, with all the disasters of the DOI, had a total vote of no confidence, which should have been done years ago? Think of all the madcap schemes that have been wrong.
Do you think it's the elected members that are ultimately responsible for this?
Yes, they're skippers of those individual departments, and as skipper, they should take full responsibility.
I just wonder who's going to decide what's a success and what's a failure, Doug.
I think the public has done that 10,000 times over regarding the prom. Look at Richmond Hill. Peel Road was a disaster. The Pull Rose Bridge is totally unnecessary. I could go on all morning about them. And the wall that they're creating in Laxey Glen is horrendous, and also had the... It was lack of maintenance everywhere with many of these things. Had they been maintained, that wall wouldn't be necessary.
Now, is this, Doug, is this as it's always been, or do you think it's getting worse? I mean, it's always been a government project. I mean, the hospital went way over budget. Iris was full of confusion.
But it's been non-stop, hasn't it? Last week, or maybe the week before now, we had one of the ministers from Mr. Bell's administration boasting that they'd reduced the numbers of people employed by government. Yes, they did, but who did they get rid of? The very workers that were doing the maintenance. So then they contracted out, and it costs a lot more money when you contract out. But none of them will listen.
That's an interesting point you raise, because when they say they cut down the size of government, I think it's important to distinguish where the workers are. They've been talking about, you know, because lots of people are on the government payroll, from, you know, the cleaner at a school to the chief minister. So, it, you know, exactly who has been, who was, it was during the Alan Bell administration, and I think you may be referring to Eddie Teer, former Treasury Minister, who said that they cut the size of the government payroll by 500, but it's bloated back up again.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. All right, Doug.
Right.
Thanks for calling today.
I hope you get some response to that.
Well, here's hoping anyway.
Yes, indeed.
All right. 20 past 12 on Manx Radio through till 1 on Man in Line as well. I'll tell you one thing that's been coming up as we've gone round through the constituency debates, and it's come from candidates and people who previously were MHKs, and it is the heads of department and senior figures within departments and what sort of responsibility they take for things that go wrong. Obviously, MHKs are elected for 5 years by public mandate, and they can be thrown out after 5 years by a public mandate as well. And they put their name to schemes, they come forward with policy, but often it's the workings of the department and the senior civil servants, most of whom, many of whom are extremely talented people and efficient people and carry out what they perceive to be the policy. But sometimes it does get altered. Sometimes it does get changed, and it may not be that the elected representative has a full handle on how what's changed within a department. So we'll keep an eye on that. And I mentioned previously that what we're trying to do, what we hope to do when the new House of Keys and Council of Ministers gets together is possibly talk to some senior civil servants with absolutely no agenda, just to find out what the truth is and exactly where they say that, you know, the future for their department. Maybe it would help if we got a minister in and his chief executive in at the same time, just to talk about what a department does, only in the spirit of clear transparency. And remember, we've had a Freedom of Information Act on the Isle of Man for a while, and transparency in government is what they keep banging on about. So we'll see. Adam now. Hello, Adam.
Hi, Randy. You all right?
Have you been swimming today?
Not today, yesterday.
Oh, right. Okay. Where did you swim yesterday?
Down in Port Erin. In Port Erin Bay. It was lovely.
Fantastic.
Lovely it was. It was getting a bit choppy last night towards the end when the wind was picking up, but it was lovely anyway. But I'm just ringing up, Andy, because I'm a bit concerned about the global situation and what's going on in Afghanistan, you know. So I was just pondering this morning, I wondered if, do you think people will look back on it and see it as America's Suez, Afghanistan? Because America has, they've entirely failed, haven't they, to, America and Britain have entirely failed to oust the Taliban in a long time, and they've come back again. And there's lots of strange things about it, because, I mean, within sort of 48 hours of the Taliban taking Kabul, China and Russia had pledged their allegiance to the Taliban. And the Taliban facilitates Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, supposedly. And Al-Qaeda is an Arab terrorist network, which has links in the Middle East, or very strong, you know. In fact, the Taliban leaders were sheltered by Qatar all the time that the Americans and British were in Afghanistan, which is interesting because the ladies' choir, which the Taliban have now banned again in Afghanistan, was invited to Doha in Qatar to perform, you know, in whilst the alliance or the Americans and the British were in Afghanistan. So there's some degree of hypocrisy there in the Middle East. But it just occurs to me that the Middle East and Russia and China are now all aligned, and they've sort of all been brought together as allies over Afghanistan. And they would seem to have an awful lot of power in the world with the Russian oligarchs and all the money they've invested in, you know, in Europe and the West, and also China and the amount of land they own and all the mining rights in Australia and Africa. And then, obviously, the Arab states, Dubai and Doha and these places in the United Arab Emirates, they've become major financial centres. So you just wonder if power's shifting, both political power and economic power, towards the east, and whether we're still living. Because, obviously, yesterday the British, American and Australian pact was signed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering whether that'll affect the Isle of Man in the long term, whether, you know, the finance sector will start to drain away, or whether China money will be diverted towards the east and towards China, as opposed to being fed into the City of London by the Crown Dependencies.
Well, I think the effect on the Isle of Man, and bearing in mind the Isle of Man for ages, has never touched Russian money. I mean, it's hard enough for anybody to open a bank account in the Isle of Man, but the two places that Manx banks and institutions ran a mile from was Russia and Africa. So anybody with connections there had to run through every hoop, and opening a bank account for a Russian entity is virtually impossible on the Isle of Man. And as far as Russia in Afghanistan, remember, it's not 40-odd years since the Soviet Union ran from Afghanistan with its tail between its legs. But I certainly agree that financial power is moving east to China, and obviously there's India, which is a very friendly jurisdiction, but certainly going to that. But as far as it being sort of America's Suez, I think they were always going to go, weren't they?
Well, what do you mean they're always going to go? It was always going to be sort of end of them.
Well, they never, I don't know. I mean, there never seemed to be Afghanistan actually embracing America in, and it's shown now when America's gone, there's hardly been a clamour on the streets for America to come back.
Well, hasn't that? Because, I mean, there was there was all those protests, and the ladies, they were saying about that Pakistan had done it. They were holding a protest to say that Pakistan had done it, because Pakistan's another one who sort of sheltered the Taliban and backs, you know, funds, gives them money anyway, because the Taliban, of course, are very rich. They've got billions of pounds in the bank accounts in the Middle East. And
And sort of the Middle East is tied up with all these sort of militias like the Taliban, and they have sort of people on the ground, don't they? You know, they have soldiers who are prepared to fight for, and they have a very dominant, strong culture. And you just wonder where the West is going, and I just wonder, like, I don't know, what future is there for us in the world as power deflects more and more towards the East? That was just my point, Andy.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Andy.
Have a good weekend. And Frank's with us now on Man in Line. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Andy. How are you, mate? All right.
Oh, we're lovely today. It's a bit grim, but it's a, you know, what's it like by the coast?
It's not very good today. It's very dull and a bit colder. It's not nice at all. But, you know, I'm hoping some sunshine comes in the next few days again.
Okay. What's on your mind, Frank?
Right, I just want to mention about the prom. It's an absolute disgrace, and I think it's the election is coming up. I think every member of the last government should never be allowed to be in government again. They should be sacked, because they've made an absolute disgrace of most things. This is the worst government we've ever had. They're ridiculous. And like that man that was on before who said there was so many scouts, silly schemes that were doing over the years. They've wasted so much money and 3 years to do the prom and it's still not finished and the tram's only done halfway. What idiot put that idea up? It's ridiculous. And I think the rest of the public feel the same.
Well, I think, and I get the feeling, but going around at the constituency meetings, talking to people scratch their heads and wonder what's going on. And, well, now is the time for them to reset, really, and if you like, be frank with the government, if you pardon the pun, and just tell them exactly what, you know, what is going on, what plans are for the future. They do bang on about transparency all the time.
But they don't do it, do they? There's no transparency. But I think something should be, somebody may be responsible for this and be told about it. And I think every member of government, the last government, should not be allowed to come in government again and no pension. That's how bad a lot of people feel. I've spoken to other people.
Okay, while you're on, I can't let you go with ask because you live on the coast, don't you, by the Cronk there. We talked at the Aaron Michael meeting, and they reckon the future for that part of the coast is this heavy rock scheme, the rock, you know, building rock up. Do you think that's the right way to go?
You mean putting defences up with big rocks?
Yeah.
Well, that, as you know, my property has got these huge rocks, thousands of tons of rocks all the way around. It has solved the problem. It's been there since 1983. It's a 25-foot drop to the sea with all these rocks, and it's totally solved the problem. My next-door neighbour put some rocks in a couple of years ago. The only problem is he did it after the storm instead of before, and it took 30 foot of his garden away. But now it's perfectly safe.
Okay.
These rocks, it's the same principle as Douglas Harbour. It dissipates the waves and how long does it take to erode a rock?
Okay, so you reckon that's the future for the Northwest, do you think?
Well, it would be a good way of stopping erosion and the cheapest way of doing it.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
Have a good weekend, Frank.
And you. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Now, a message in from Bill just said, at the end near the sea terminal, well, if the horse tram does go down there from the gate, it's going to be very tight for cars and trams and parking bays, then about a metre by the NSC path and a 3-metre soil bed. I don't think it's just been thought out. The cycle lane, the charging points, the cycle parking, the lighting, the list is endless. You just get a feeling that there may be a very big snagging list for all this as well. Neil said, Andy, people knock the prom so much, but I've kept an open mind. I think it's coming together very well. There's been so much going on under the ground with the old utilities that we'll never see. It'll be great when it's finished. Also, the new lights will look great, modern and smart, says Neil. And a question in from Terry, who just says, I don't think those parking spaces are wide enough. I've seen people trying to park in them and using 1.5 spaces. Well, they always did that before, but we take your point as to what's going on with the parking spaces. We'll put that on another request to my prom and see where it gets us. Bonzo. Hello, Bonzo.
Hi there. Yes. Talking to a couple of callers ago about senior civil servants and transparency about what they do.
Yeah.
And coming on Manx Radio and explaining this. There are obviously going to be certain restrictions about what they can say and what they can discuss because of the various codes that they operate under. But I see no reason why the Chief Secretary shouldn't come along, and Peter Boxer, who's the head of external relations, and one of the CEOs, perhaps even your old Manx Radio old boy Dan Davis could pop down, as he now runs DHA.
Well, I just and again, we don't want to know everything. We don't want to know the nuts and bolts, but it would be nice to be known. And I think it's all very well talking about transparency and open government. But you have to, you have to walk the walk. You have to do what you say you're going to do. And I don't think the public actually want to know they don't want a day-to-day breakdown of what's happening, but it will be nice to know.
Yes, I mean, they don't, they don't sort of broadcast and discuss really the sort of basic principles under which they operate. Speaking as someone who used to operate under those kind of principles across in Whitehall. There are various basic sort of basic things, although that might have dissipated somewhat with a much more sort of flexible civil service where you have people sort of come in on contract and then go away, rather than the kind of old career civil service.
Yes.
As once was.
But I think that there's a different dynamic, surely, Bonzo. When we're talking about public money and democratically elected members, that should certainly, it should evince a certain behaviour and a certain code, don't you think?
Well, yes, and there's also the old maxim that civil servants advise, ministers decide. And I think a lot of the problems that we've been seeing haven't been so much at the door of senior civil servants as their political masters. Because if you give the civil service, certainly in my time in the civil service cross, but certainly if you give civil servants clear objectives, so that they can then and clear policy so that they can come up with ways to implement that policy and come back, and then the ministers can say, yep, fine, that's good, crack on, or whatever. But at the moment, the motto of Isle of Man government seems to be, avoid making any decision until no other options are available. And in those circumstances, the civil service have to think, how do we keep the show on the road? So they have to do things just to stop the wheels falling off. That's their job. But I think, and I would hope, in the new administration, there will be much more of a spirit of political leadership, so that the civil service can get on with their job, which is to implement the policy of the government of the day within the law.
Okay. Bonzo, have a good weekend. Thanks for being with us.
And you. Cheers. Bye.
25-1. Man in Line's on. Last weekend for canvassing for the candidates. This time next week, it'll all be over.
Your new Crosby Co-op is now open. And shopping with us is even easier with groceries delivered straight from the store to your door. When you buy online at co-op.co.uk. With thousands of products to choose from, plus all of our latest deals and offers available online at co-op.co.uk, you can let us do the heavy lifting so you don't have to. Order today at co-op.co.uk. Selected stores only. £15 minimum spend applies. Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at co-op.co.uk.
There's a van arriving. Been internet shopping again, missus?
No, Ewan. That Spectrum window's coming to repair our side window.
What happened?
Well, Geoffrey only went and reversed the tractor into it. He's not been seen for dust since. I think he's hiding in the chicken coop.
Geoffrey, come and admire this quality repair that Spectrum windows are doing. Here, chicken. Here, chicken.
For speedy glazing repairs and more, visit spectrumwindows.im or the showroom Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
B&B Furniture's anniversary party is now on, with massive savings in all departments. There's up to 20% off lounge and dining furniture, with free footstools on selected suites. Huge savings on beds, with great offers including size upgrades, free drawers and free bedding, plus 0% finance too. So don't miss out on the savings. Hurry down to Snugborough Trading Estate for B&B Furniture's anniversary party. Now on.
Crossroads is proud to have taken over the runnings at the Manx Workshop. Providing paid employment for the disabled, the Manx Workshop makes a range of high-quality products, everything from trophy engraving to garden benches. The Manx Workshop have a rich history of working on the island for over 30 years, and Crossroads is proud to have them on board. See crossroadsiom.org to find out more.
Crossroads Isle of Man, putting care as first.
Coming up, it's another winning weekend here on Manx Radio, and this time we've teamed up with the Man in Hotel to give you the chance to win dinner, bed and breakfast for two people. The Man in Hotel delivers traditional Manx hospitality in modern surroundings, and if you want to win, all you need to do is listen out for our winning weekend wordplay all day Saturday and Sunday. Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on Monday's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to be a big winner here on the Nation Station with our friends at the Man in Hotel, Broadway in Douglas.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 22 minutes before one. And if you're across, by the way, if you're one of the 260 cars who are over for the Festival of Motoring, the inaugural Festival of Motoring, then welcome. It's taking place from Friday today through till Sunday as well. Car enthusiasts from around the UK visiting the Isle of Man for some festival events and unique driving experiences. And if you're visiting us with your vehicle, then welcome. I hope you have a good weekend. Howard's with us now on Man in Line. Good afternoon, Howard.
Good afternoon, Andy. I've only just come in. I was out doing the garden, and I heard somebody mention about the promenade, etc. And I've mentioned this before, where alongside the garden walls from Broadway, past the War Memorial, right the way along the promenade, they're filling in with soil. And I was told in no uncertain manner that's where the horse trams are going. But what crossed my mind, and there was an appeal on your station the other day about people with cycle racks, etc., and particularly for the disabled and, visually impaired. But what would happen if these vehicles are reversing into the existing car parking spaces on the promenade and these racks are stuck out? And if this is where the horse trams are going, how far will they protrude out? Will it be sufficient to prevent the trams travelling properly along the promenade, or will they have to keep stopping and starting where the cars or even vans, etc.?
That won't work, will it?
Well, if they go fast enough, they can whip those cycle tracks off the back of the car. But having said that, they do protrude quite a long way out, and you see an awful lot of vehicles on the island with these things permanently down. And especially, well, one of the places you notice is in Tesco Car Park. And I've often said it to my wife, I'm glad I've got reasonable sight, I suppose. If I didn't, that's the first thing you'd walk into on the way through, because they're extremely hard to see. But I noticed this week on the radio, and I think it was the police were appealing people to fold them back up again when not in use, which makes common sense. But where they going, when they're reversing into the parking spaces on the promenade now, on the lock promenade, will these protrude far enough onto the tramway section to prevent a proper running of the tram? I know it's only a summer thing, but that is where the attraction is and where it's going to be. And are they going to have means of preventing the car going so far back as to not encroach onto the tramway runway? because that was, as I say, that's all soil at the moment, leading from, well, I see they're working on the lines now curving in towards the seaward side of the prom over on the esplanade. And that there then, I can only assume, will go into a single line and follow the length of the wall right through to the sea terminal. So have they thought about it? Because knowing government and knowing the planners within government and seeing some of their previous little escapades, they'll get it all in place and then have to alter it.
You know who I wouldn't be for all the tea in China? You know who I wouldn't be, Howard?
Go on.
The first person to dig the prom up.
Yes.
Yes. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be gas, water, electricity or telecom, I wonder?
I think it'll be the government itself removing those roundels.
Okay. All right, have a good weekend, Howard.
I don't know what they've got at the moment, but I saw a large vehicle the other day down at the filling station, and it's a road preparation vehicle. It's a specially designed vehicle, and it's of English registration, and the men were down there at the Spa filling station. And this thing, it's got a big suction unit on the front, and now that I don't know, it might be that self-same vehicle that's up removing as the government's on surplus road markings. So I don't know what that thing's on the island for, but there must be some to hire a vehicle of that kilter.
So it's a big Hoover?
Essentially, yes. Yeah, it's all purpose-built. It's a purpose-built vehicle for that specific job. And it's got a big flat-faced Hoover on the front of the cab, and what looks like a built-in skip on the back. And it's a big Volvo truck. And I noticed it last week down, and it said on it, a surface preparatory vehicle. And this thing must be going ahead, and it may well be taking markings off the road. Like, they've half done the job from the grandstand down. They've still left a single lane on the south to north side, which defeats the object. But I'm just wondering what that vehicle was over for, whether the government have hired it to erase some of their mistakes.
All right. Thanks, Howard.
Take care.
Cheers. Bye. Now. And Stuart with us now. Hello, Stuart.
Hello. The only thing that I want to complain about on the prom is that they've removed a number of waste bins down the prom. Now, if they don't put them back, the people will just throw the litter on the floor.
Whereabouts were the litter bins then, Stuart?
Well, I'm looking at my flat is Millennium Court, which is on the Queen's Promenade. So across from there was always a litter bin. And obviously, when the caravanettes and everything's come, they actually, they sleep on the front. I know they shouldn't do, but they do. And then they put everything into the litter bin. Well, there's no litter bin there now. So so they're going to have to replace those litter bins, because otherwise the prom will become a mess. It's very important, I think.
So what do you think of the promenade? Have you got faith in it? Do you think it's going to be okay?
I've actually been from the terminal up to my property, and it's a mystery, a complete mystery. And where that, we always buy tickets for the horse tram, and we go on the horse tram right down into the, now I don't know, I cannot figure out where about the house Sam's going to end. But it's no use to us if it only ends halfway down the prom.
Well, at the moment, it's going to finish at Castlemona Avenue, just by the old Central Pub, by the Central Flats now.
Well, that is ridiculous. Absolutely. Well, they want people to come to just trot up from Castlemona to the end of the Queen's prom and go back again. I can't see visitors really wanting to do that. But I'm a visitor myself in a way, because although I've never missed a summer since I was 15, coming to the Isle of Man, and I'm now nearing 80. So I know more and much about the prom as most people. But removal of litter bins, to me, is a crime. You know, I mean, I can't understand what the point is.
Okay. All right, Stuart, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, it's 14 minutes before one on Manx Radio. The Festival of Motors, Motoring, hundreds of vehicles coming to the islands, says, but is the price of petrol going to go up accordingly? Well, you never know. And good lucky for them, we don't have E10 or E5 petrol, because it would play havoc with those old engines as well. Where are all the disabled parking spaces on the promenade? They all seem to be on one end, says Ben. And where are the blue badge holders meant to park if they want to go anywhere other than Marks and Spencer as well? A message in that just says, regarding the work on the promenade, I've been asking my future MHKs for accountability, says Paul, if they get elected. Not much chance of that. I asked the same question last election. No one's accountable in a government position, and surely heads should fall for total incompetence at the very top, says Paul. Well, it'd be nice to find out. And again, I just reiterate it, we have no agenda, but it would be really nice just to get heads of department, chief executives of the big departments of the government, just to come in occasionally and chat through what's happening and take it from there. It would just be nice to hear from the people right at the top, because there's ongoing with this. We have elected members and we have civil servants. We have senior people who run the departments. Where does the power really lie? Who's in charge? I'm sorry, but I've worked on the Douglas Prom scheme. So many corners have been cut, says this person as well. Corners have been cut on the promenade. So the quality of the work, I think, is a disgrace. And I think it's shoddy as well. Lest we forget, says Dick, the original plan was going to be 5 years. It's exactly what Tim will voted for. It's been done 2 years quicker. What do you expect it to look like, especially as they've altered every original drawing, says Dick. Also, the pink concrete is what was asked, as it is cheap. Cheap concrete, no wonder it cracks. So you can't blame the contractors, and no Manx seagulls, apparently, were killed in the making of the promenade. But do you know that for a fact? We should ask government communications. It's 12 minutes before one.
For your new bathroom, head to Peacetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Peacetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Peacetter's, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Peacetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best of it.
Together, we can prevent suicide. But would you know what to do if a friend, colleague, or loved one needed help? With an assist course from St. John Ambulance, you could learn the skills to intervene and help someone stay safe. Your knowledge could be the difference between a life lost and a life saved. Learn life-supporting applied suicide intervention skills on a St. John Ambulance assist course. For more information, call St. John Ambulance on 674 387.
Corkill Removals and Storage today. Loads big and small, day after day. We'll help you move, we'll help you pack. With a local or global, we've got the knack. So give us a cheer.
Yay!
Your movers are here.
They do it right.
As well as moving locally, nationally or internationally, we have storage solutions from as little as £12 per week. Call
675-495. We'll get your load delivered on time. You can be sure we'll get the job done. Click corkillremovals.com.
Coming up on your left is TD Car Centre. TD Car Centre, for a great selection of top-of-the-range used cars available. All sourced and looked after by exceptional island mechanics. You have driven past TD Car Centre. Make a U-turn where possible and proceed to Hills Meadow. I said, make a U-turn where possible. You're due an upgrade.
TD Car Centre. TDCar.im.
It may be the end of summer, but we're here still rocking at Caroline North.
We got the greatest music from the 60s, 70s, 80s and into the 90s. We've got prizes to give away thanks to Roger and Kate of Century Printing in Stalham, Norfolk. And we're sponsored all weekend by Feature Story News. Join us live from the Ross Revenge for Caroline North.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Big news, just been told by the head of bins, the bins will be replaced, apparently. And maybe new bins, we don't know, they may be reconditioned, they may be the old retro distress bins, but the bins will be replaced, Stuart. So that's good news that people can throw that. Now let's hope they're emptied regularly as well. Have you seen the new, the reconditioned bus stops now, isn't it? 10 out of 12 of the bus stops, the old bus stops done up. Is a minister in charge of a department or is the minister a spokesman, says this correspondent on Treble O. Is the minister in charge? If the minister is in charge, why do we have CEOs? Mention in just says, so coming from Douglas to Onchan, you have to go to the first roundel. Obviously, it's still got traffic lights there. But when it does open, do we get told not to use it as a roundabout, more as an unmarked junction? So why is there a roundabout sign still there, says Helen. You and your questions, Helen, eh? Bert in Port St Mary said, well said, Frank, the worst Manx government in history by a country mile. Everybody says that about the government, don't they? Don't they? Every member deserves to be voted out. This is a government that's had hundreds of millions of pounds worth of taxpayers' money. And can we get rid of the president of Tynwald role? It's not necessary. Well, it's there. It's constitutional reform you're talking about, Bert. Not my department, but we take your point anyway. From a listener's point of view, I'm really enjoying the constituency debates, thanks to Max Radio. Are they available as a podcast? Yes, just about everything's available as a podcast on Max Radio. If you go to maxradio.com, all the podcasts are there, and the videos of the constituency debates are there as well. And by the way, while we're at it, I want to say hello to all the Man in Line podcast audience. Man in Line gets a tremendous amount of podcast response right around the world. Manxes, exile Manxes all over the world. Hello to our Gold Coast contingent. I'm very big in Brisbane, apparently. But lots of podcast listeners on the Isle of Man and around the world. Obviously, you can download it to your smart device and tablet and what have you. Listen any time of day or night. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of myself and producer Barry Redfern for making the Man in Line one of the Isle of Man's most subscribed to podcasts. So, and by the way, if you know anybody who you think would enjoy our daily little get-together of skeet and loving awareness, then tell them the Man in Line's available as a podcast via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker, Spotify, the TuneIn app as well. Just go to manxradio.com or any search engine as well, and that Manx Radio app is free at the App Store as well. So hi, if you're listening on a podcast anywhere, any time of day or night, anywhere in the world, which is a heck of a thought as well. Why don't they use metal cages full of rocks and boulders as a sea defence? It would cost a lot to set up, but surely a cage full of rocks would surely be more secure than individual boulders, says Sue in Kirkmichael. Well, those boulders seem to hang around for a long time, but we take your point. There are lots of ways of mitigating coastal erosion around the northwest, and it's certainly something somebody's got to get a handle on as well if the storms are coming for winter. Who's going to be responsible for the dirt soil strip along Douglas Harris Promenade as well? Hopefully not Douglas Corporation ratepayers, or are they, says Andy. Well, I'm hearing it's going to be wild. They're going to be wilding it. So it'll be wild flowers on the promenade. There's lots of soil now covered where the tram lines are going to go. And so maybe the bees will be there in force. Regarding Douglas Promenade, says Pete, there's nowhere to park a motorcycle on it where it can be secured to an immovable object, as there used to be. Let's have a look here. It's nice to know about an open government, but apparently you have no chance of when the politicians refuse point blank to have a list of members' outside interests in the public domain. So didn't they bring that in? Didn't they bring that in as where that was concerned? And loads more comment in. A message in. There's a pavement between the parking spaces and the tram corridor on Loch Promenade, says James. And why didn't they lay the tram track tarmac anyway and just let the cyclists use it, says Dee. And from Alan, when you put the request in, can you ask, what's the difference between small and medium van parking from a large people carrier or a Range Rover? I think it's persecution of the working man. Let's say working person, shall we? If you only own a van, how do you do your shopping? It's a big point, that is, because lots of private cars are bigger than a van. So how do you make the difference? And again, says that correspondent, Alan, how do you know a van isn't just a private car that somebody's chosen to have? Should it have markings on it? Commercial markings? And while we're saying hello, by the way, I love this. Dave said, can you say hi to the people doing the flumes at the NSC? We look at their van every day, give them a wave. They seem to be bemused by all the attention. Have they not heard of a flume-free Friday? Well, we have, and it's another flume-free Friday at the NSC. That's it. Man in Line's back. High noon, 12 midday on Monday. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern, and have a great weekend.